Thank you, Lord. Hear the assurance of pardon from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord tells us if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. He's a gracious God. Let's live for him. You'll find also this other paper here that we give you for a psalm reading. Let's read this psalm together. I'm going to read the not bold parts, and you read the parts that's printed in bold. It's Psalm 100, where all land summon to praise God, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good. Amen. God is faithful, and we praise him for that. If you got your Bibles with you today, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. I'll give you a second to find it, and we'll be in 25, beginning in verse 31. Once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of the Lord's holy word. Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 25, 31, the Lord tells us, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. The king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer him, truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these who are my members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. 46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, that it pierces to the very heart of both the lost and saved, Lord. Help it to pierce us every day, that we may more fully trust you, more worthily magnify thy holy name, Lord. We may hide its words in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee. Bless us to have ears of attentive to what you're telling us. Give me the words I should preach this morning, Lord, and we thank you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Verse 31 tells us in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, in our liturgical calendar we use around here, today is the last Sunday of the church year. It's Sunday of Christ the King, and that's who he is. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of all creation. John chapter 1 tells us, by him all things were created. Through him nothing, without him nothing was created. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his kingdom is reigning right now, spiritually among us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. He says, the Father's good will to give unto you the kingdom. Where is the kingdom people? That's where my citizenship, yours is as well. We may be citizens here in this country, America, but it's just a temporary one. Our eternal home is the New Jerusalem, the capital of the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus Christ is our King. In verse 31, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, excuse me, and I notice it doesn't say if the Son of Man comes, or maybe he'll come. It says when. It's not if, but when. Jesus is coming back, and we can count on that. Excuse me. Weather, get my sinuses going. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, when he comes, we can count on that. We can know it 100% that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his children and coming back, and time will be no more. The kingdom of heaven will be fully consummated. It'll be fully done down here below, new heavens and new earth, as Revelation 21 tells us. When the Son of Man comes, are we ready to meet him? You know, there's a lot of people, we can call them grassy-faced Christians. Because when Jesus comes back, they're going to see it, hear the trumpet sound, they're going to run out there and jump, trying to get there. Face will hit the concrete, hit the pavement, or hit the grass, because they never truly knew him, never truly loved him, never accepted the free gift of salvation. A lot of grassy-faced Christians, they've got Christian in name only, lip service to the Lord, but the heart far from him. Let's not be that. We can be prepared for when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes back. Have you trusted him fully this morning? When the Son of Man comes in his glory, notice here it's in his glory. Not my glory, not the glory of people, not the glory of anything else, but Jesus Christ, because there's nothing more glorious than that, than God's only Son, who stretched out his hands to die on the cross of Calvary. He came the first time as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist tells us. But next time he comes, he'll come as the victorious Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, to set up his kingdom. We're part of it, if you know him as Savior. He says here, he comes in his glory. Second part, it says, and the angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. It's not just going to be him coming. It's going to be the whole party, the whole wedding party for the wedding supper of the Lamb. All the angels will be with him, the angels of glory. And then he will sit on the throne of his glory. We notice here in the book of Revelation, if you'll turn with me, we'll be right back to Matthew. But Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. Revelation 14, 14. The Lord tells us, then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man. He's telling us of the reaping of the earth's harvest. He says, with a golden crown on his head, that's Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord. He says, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to the one who sat on the cloud, Jesus and the angels. It says again, use your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. It's fully ripe. Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's not be far off from God. Let's be laboring in his fields. There's plenty of harvest out there before the harvest is fully ripe. When it's ripe, Jesus comes back. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to the one who sat on the cloud, use your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. No man knows the hour. They predicted in the 1800s, it didn't come true. People predicted a few years ago, it didn't come true. Only Jesus Christ is coming when the Father bids him to. When God says it's time to go, he'll be coming. Nobody know but the Father, he says. Use your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. We got to be prepared for that hour by having our faith in Jesus Christ, fully trusting in him. He says, because the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. It became fully ripe. When it's ripe, you don't leave it on the vine. What happens? It rots away. You get it when it's ripe. Not before, not after. Christ will come at the appointed time. Why has he tarried so many years? It's out of mercy. He tarries out of mercy to allow others to come before him. But one of these days, time will be up. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. We're not guaranteed it. We may die this day. This may be our last day walking this earth. We don't know where Jesus may come back. But either way, today is all we got. It's all we got promised. He says here, verse 16, so the one who sat on the cloud swung a sickle of the earth, and the earth was reaped. As elsewhere Jesus tells us in a parable, wheat and the tares, the enemy sowed the tares. They say, do we want to go rip up the tares? No, it'll rip up the wheat too. Let them both grow together, and time of harvest will harvest them. Jesus explained that parable, that the wheat is his children. The tares are the children of the evil one. We don't have to remain children of the evil one. We can give our lives to Jesus Christ and become a wheat. It's useful. A tare is thrown into the fire, as Jesus said in that parable, the lake of fire. But praise God, the wheat is carried off to the barn, to the Father's house. That day of reaping is coming, the reaping day is coming. In verse 17, then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. This is after the earth was reaped for God's children, for the wheat. He says here, verse 18, then another angel came out from the altar, and the angel who has authority over fire. He called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, use your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. Verse 19, so the angel swung his sickle over the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth, and he threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And that's a sad thing. Verse 20, and the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for the distance about 200 miles. What a sad day for those that were not part of the Lord's harvest. Don't wait. Many teach that after the Lord comes, you'll have a little bit more time to get right. You won't. After the Lord comes, that's it. Time will be no more. Judgment day is beginning. Don't wait. Don't wait. Go to Heavenly Father. He says here, back in Matthew chapter 25, he says here, with him, all and all the angels with him, and then they will sit on the throne of his glory. He'll come sit on the throne of the glory of God. That's a great throne. When we stand before him, we want to stand before him through Jesus Christ, faith on him. You will stand before God. We want to stand before him as his children, as the sheep of his pastures, he tells us. What a glorious thing that is. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the good shepherd. He loves us and he'll guide us. Don't go back to perdition. Don't be lost. Don't forsake the ways of God and become an old goat again. In verse 32, he says, and all the nations will be gathered before him. All the nations, not just some of us, not just a certain color, not just a certain class, not just a certain nationality. All the nations. It don't matter if you're born in America or France or Mexico or Asia. Everybody's going to be there together. It'll be one big to-do. All the people ever born at this great judgment day. The Bible tells us in Revelation that the sea themselves gives up the dead. Those that's buried at sea, those whose boats went down in the wars, they're giving it up. The sea's giving up the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first when Jesus comes back. It's the promises of the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord. Everybody's going to be there. You mark it down. You too will be there. In verse 32, all the nations, everybody will be gathered before him. Everybody. There's two classes of people in this world as we're about to read about. You know, people tell you there's rich folks, there's poor folks, there's red, yellow, black and white, there's all these different things. But in the end of the days, you know, those exist. In the end of the day, what really matters is if you're saved or if you're lost. Are you right with God or are you not? That's what's going to count when all the nations are gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another. As a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats, there's a visible difference between a sheep and a goat. So too should there be a visible difference in our life. If we're the sheep of God's pasture, we need to be feast on his pasture, on the word of God, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We're his sheep. We're going to be pasturing by him. If we're going to follow him, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as another translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. We've got everything we've got. So why would we forsake him for something of the world? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Or he leads me beside still waters, the Bible tells us. We're the sheep of his pasture. Stay close to the shepherd. Don't be a goat, be a lamb. He says here, he will separate people from another as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goat. You can look at an old goat and you can look at a sheep and you can tell there's a physical difference. Verse 33, and he will be put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. There's going to be a visible difference. When they're all bunched up in one place, as we're all bunched up in this world, you can tell a difference. The wheat and the tares, when they've grown up, you can tell a difference. We're all in the same world, but we, as the sheep of his pasture, we, as his wheat, as his people, as the redeemed, blood bought by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we are different. We're not of this world. We're in it, but not of it. Are you of this world, or are you just passing through, just traveling through? It's our time of exile here below. Let's live it for the Lord, as the Bible tells us. It says here in verse 33, he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. They'll be separated. The right hand is a place, as a king's throne, that's a place of authority. That's where Jesus sat down, the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. It's a place of secondary. It's a place of authority. We have the authority of the Holy Spirit to live for God, to follow him, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to do all these things that we talked about last week at the end of the Gospel of Mark with signs following. We have the authority of the King of Kings to conduct his business here below through him. We're the body of Christ Let's not take that lightly. He says here, right hand and the goats on the left. 34, then the king will say to those at his right hand. That's where we want to be at. We want to be on the right hand. Come, you that are blessed by my Father. We're blessed by the Father because he loves us. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. For God so loved the world, it says, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved, the Bible tells us. Through him the world might be saved. He says, come, you that are blessed by my Father. We're blessed people. We're blessed. We're loved by God. God loves everybody. But those that accept his call, accept the gift of salvation, we're truly blessed. We're children of God. We become children of the kingdom of heaven. He says here, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And I notice here he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. As we read last week, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. He's prepared us a place at the right hand of the Father. He's prepared us a place in heaven. When there's a great rebellion in heaven and they cast out the devil and all his angels, they didn't just look at their place and say, well, we could just use this for something else. Oh, God, it says here, come you that are blessed by my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. He didn't just remake an old house that belonged to some devil that got cast out of heaven. He's prepared a place specifically for me and you, specifically for all people. Everybody's got a slot in heaven. The problem is many reject it by refusing to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. If I bought you a brand new house, you can choose if you want to come live in it or if you want to reject it and go live under a bridge somewhere. Why would we reject the mansions of heaven, the glorious place of the Father, if we're down here below? It's like laying around without the Lord. There's no sense in that. God has bidden us, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, he says. Come unto him, come to Jesus. The door to heaven's wide open, just as the door of the ark was wide open. But so few went in there. I believe it was 8 people went in that ark. And the door was wide open. It says that God shut the door. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man is. People were eating and drinking, giving in marriage. And then it was too late. The ark doors were shut and it started to rain. Jesus will call his children. It'll be too late. The world will be over with. No more time. Too late. Too far gone to repent to the Lord. You've got time right now. Don't give it up. Don't throw it away. God has given you. You are blessed by the Father to have this time to pray to him. He says here, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before the worlds were made, he was preparing us a place. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. Not only physical food, we need to be giving people spiritual food, the Word of God. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Jesus said that we can come to the rivers of living water freely and partake in Revelation. He says here, whosoever will, we too should not only be giving people physical needs, but spiritual as well as the hands and feet of Jesus. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me, it says. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. Without Jesus, we're all sin sick. But so many sin sick in this world refusing to follow him. We ought to be bringing the Word of God to them, both the physically, but most of all the spiritually sick. Took care of them, gave me clothing. God's going to give us rich and white raiment as he counsels us to buy the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. As a stranger, and you welcome me. We too were all strangers in God's house, but he welcomed us, and we became his children. Not only the spiritual aspect of this, but the physical aspect. We want to go on to sanctification, going on to perfection, as John Wesley tells us to in his teaching. How do we do that? We have the works of piety, and we have the works of mercy. Works of piety for individuals, read your Bible, pray to God, fast. Corporately, we come together as God's church, celebrate communion together. We have baptisms, but then we have works of mercy, where we go out and we physically help people. We provide for their needs. Like Herb mentioned there, we're collecting for the Holston Home for Children. What a glorious, glorious thing to help the children. Jesus said, pure religion is this in the book of James, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion, helping take care of those around us, both physically, spiritually, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Praise God for his wonderful blessings. I was hungry, you gave me food. He said, notice here, he says, I was sick, I was in prison, I was naked, I was a stranger. Verse 37, then this righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Verse 38, and when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? Verse 39, and when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? Verse 40, and the king, notice here, he's our king. That's who we're dealing with. We're not dealing with just some demigod or some god Baal, Balak and all that foolishness. No, we're talking about the King of Kings, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, God Almighty's Son, Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about, the King of Kings. The king will answer them, truly, very, very truly, he says, I tell you, it's not a lie, it's the truth. Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me, he says. Then he will say to those at his left hand, then he travels on to the others. He says, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least who are members of my family, the least of these, those all around us that don't have much in this world. You know, we can pile on the gold for ourselves, but it's all going to be burned up someday. You can ask old Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes. He tried everything. More gold than anybody, more wives than anybody, more horses, multiplies of everything. Everything he ever needed down here below, and more, plus more, over and over. And it left him empty, the Bible says. Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. That's what Solomon tells us. It's vanity down here below. We can heap ourselves up treasures, but in the end, they'll either be taken from us or they'll be burned up when Jesus comes back. Let's live for that does not perish. We need to be generous and kind to those around us. There's so many around us in need, and it's such a shame and sadness. But Jesus said, you know, the poor will always be among you. We give what we have to God and to those around us generously. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about our time. We're talking about spiritually. Are we seeking and saving the lost around us? Look back in your week. What have you done for the Lord this week? Hopefully we can all say that we've done more than we did the week before, the week prior. And next week, this coming week, we ought to be doing more than we did this past week. Let's be growing in grace, works of mercy, works of piety, helping those around us. Love working, faith working through love, as Wesley put it. Let's trust the Lord and provide and do His way and His will around us. He says in verse 41, then He will say to those at His left hand, as the more goats, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Growing up, we had some old billy goats around and some nanny goats. They could be sweet creatures, but that old billy goat we had was meaner than a striped snake, and he stunk something awful. It's no wonder that God uses that as an example of the lost around us, of those that don't know the Lord, because boy, them billy goats stunk. So too does the works and the lives of those that refuse to follow the Lord. It may be squeaky clean on the outside, but inside it's rotten to the core. Jesus saves us from the inside out. We get inward holiness, then we get outward holiness. You can't clean yourself up to come to God. He already knows your inside. You come to Him and say, Lord, save me. And He'll save you. He'll redeem you by the blood of the Lamb. Then He'll take care of it. A lot of people won't come to God. They'll say, I'll come to God when I'm good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never come. Only by God's grace are we good enough to come to Him. Only by the blood of Jesus can we be redeemed. You can never clean yourself up to come to God. But God will clean you up when you come to Him. He'll take care of that. Just come to Him. God loves us as we are. He finds us where we are. But praise God, He doesn't leave us where we were. He redeems us. He says here, verse 42, or 41 rather, then He will say to those at His left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. As I've mentioned many times before, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God has prepared us a place in heaven. You've got a place prepared for you in heaven. Why would you reject it? Why would somebody reject what God's prepared for them? For something that was prepared for the devil and his angels. These people that's going to be turned away from God's kingdom, thrust out of the kingdom of God at judgment day, they're not even going to be at home in the place called hell, because it wasn't even made for them. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't want you there. He did everything He could through the power of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. He's done it all. He's done the work, the finished work of Calvary. Jesus reached out His arms and said, it is finished. It's done. It's ready. All you have to do is accept the gift of salvation. You don't have to go into eternal fire. Fire is a very deadly thing. It's a very hot thing, as we can tell. I can look at these beautiful candles here that represent God's wonderful presence among us. But what we would do if one of these candles tipped over and hit that carpet? It would consume this place. God is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us. It gives us warmth in the wintertime. It gives us light to light our way in the darkness down here below. But it is a consuming fire. And the place called hell, that is where God's wrath abides. And there is no love there. And that's not where God has prepared for you. Don't reject his plan of salvation. Don't reject his way for that place. It says here, you that are accursed. Lord, help us to be called accursed before the throne room of God. What a terrible, sad thing. God wants to call us blessed because he loves us. He'll love you right up to his coming or to your grave. Don't reject him. We don't want to hear, depart from me into eternal fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels, they know where they're going. When Jesus cast them out, they knew it. They know that's their destination. It's just a matter of time. So don't listen to the devil down here below. He can't promise you anything. You know, the devil came to Jesus when he tempted him, we read in the Gospels, and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That wasn't the devil's to give. The devil don't own anything. He ain't got the keys to his own house. He don't run around in hell poking people with a pitchfork as a cartoon show. God created hell for the devil to be punished. God created this world, and Jesus reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This ain't the devil's world. You imagine the foolishness, the devil trying to give Jesus Christ the world when Jesus is the one that created it. Through him all things were created. Don't listen to the devil. His promises are hollow. He can't give you nothing. He'll think you can. The wages of sin is death. Oh, as one of the old Puritans said, what fools it would be to trade for a drop of pleasure, a sea of wrath. It's not worth it. What the devil offers is never worth it. Give him an inch, he'll be your ruler, as I saw on a church sign once. And what a wonderful truth that is. He'll rule over you if you give him space. Don't give him space. He's got a place prepared for him, and it's called hell. But we've got a place prepared for us in the New Jerusalem. That's where our address is. Verse 42 says, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Verse 43, I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. 44, then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that you saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? 45, then he will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. We're called to faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. But faith without works is dead, as James tells us. We take the whole Bible into account. We notice here, so many times Jesus said in the Gospels, man, you will say that we prophesied in thy name. We did this, we did that. We did mighty works in your name. But they did not give their heart to God. They did not love their neighbors ourselves. They did not show forth how we live our lives. It truly matters. This life down here, it's not worthless. We're to be living for God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Have you ever read through the law and the prophets? We even just start with the law. God gives us a lot of things in that thing to look after. A lot of details, a lot of fine details God commands us. The law of God. Now, many of it was written to national Israel, but we still glean from it the principle of it. God wrote that law. It's for our sanctification. The law first shows us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Now as saved people, we can look back at it and see what God loves, see what God hates. We can understand it, what God's trying to tell us through the Holy Spirit. But we notice here, all of the law and the prophets hang on loving God first and loving your neighbor. If we truly love God first, we'll do what he says. We'll believe his word. We'll heed him when he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with me, and he will sit on the throne of his glory, that he's going to be coming back and all nations will be gathered before him. If we live professing the name of Jesus and we go out here and live like hell itself, live like Jesus is never coming back, we're calling God a liar because he says he is coming back. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the disciples couldn't wake and pray with God for 1 hour, pray with Jesus for 1 hour, their eyes were real heavy. They kept falling asleep. Jesus said, watch and pray. We need to be watching and praying. The world around us is falling fast asleep to the devil's lullaby of sin and wickedness. falling away into the outer darkness of this world, but God's light shines forth. We need to be awake, watchful, watching out for the Lord, and praying to Him. Faith like this cometh not but by what? Prayer and fasting. We can trust in the Lord and follow Him. But if we're truly trusting the Lord, it will show on how we treat those around us. We can't say we love God and hate someone, because God says that if you love somebody, if you hate somebody and claim you love God, you can't. It doesn't happen. You can't love somebody, love a God that you haven't seen, if you hate somebody who you can see. Jesus is all in those around us in need, as He says here. What we do to the least of these is what we're doing to Him. If we're wiping our feet with those around us, we're doing that to Almighty God. What a terrible thing it is. You know, it's amazing. If we read all throughout the Psalms, the Old Testament, many in the New, over and over, God professes and claims it and says it, that He is the defender of the fatherless. He's the defender of the widows. He's the defender of the hungry and the poor, blind and naked. He's the defender of them. If we want to be on God's side, we need to be doing the same, helping those around us. Praise God for the works we can do. But it all comes down to individual. How are we treating those around us? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. There's a lot of people that will ask us for food. There's a lot of scammers out there. What a terrible thing to sit out there and claim you're hungry, claim you're needing something, and go out there and get in your Cadillac and drive off and go to the liquor store. There's a lot of that going on. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot more that truly need our help as God's hand and feet. Always be willing to give an answer, the Bible says. For what you believe, we all should be willing to not only feed the hungry and to give water to the thirsty and all these things, and welcome the strangers, to clothe the naked, especially in these cold times. Help the sick and in prison. Brothers and sisters, there's always a need for that. But we always should be keeping in mind people's spiritual as well. They come hand in hand, providing for somebody and helping them. James tells us, if someone, a brother or sister's in need, and we say, go in peace, God loves you, hope you're having a nice day, he says, it's hollow, it's worthless. We're sitting there knowing they're starving. But we say, God bless you and hope you're doing all right. It's not going to be the case. We're to provide and show God's love to those around us. Lord, help us to, because He says here, then you answer them, truly I tell you in verse 45, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Verse 46, and these will go into eternal punishment. Notice here, the torment of the lost, those who reject Jesus and His ways, it doesn't even begin fully until the judgment day. Revelation tells us that hell itself gives up the dead. It spits out its dead for judgment day. Those that died without the Lord, that refused to follow Him. The punishment doesn't even start until eternity begins. Eternity is a long time, and these will go away into eternal punishment. But, he says, praise God, he says, but the righteous into eternal life. Praise God in those buts sometime on here. It says, but God who is rich in mercy. He saved us elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us. But God who is rich in mercy, but the righteous into eternal life. God is rich in mercy. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to Him. But the righteous into eternal life. How are we righteous? It's not by my works. It's not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not my works or yours. Filthy rags. But when we're right with God, we can do faith working in love, and we can do these things to help others around us through God. But you got to know Him first. You got to truly know Him as Savior. You can do all the good things to those around us you want, but unless you know Him as Savior, unless you got the first part, you're just trying to push your plow with the donkey and it ain't going to work. Push your buggy with your horse, it don't work. We first have to have the faith. Then we can have the works next to it. Your first foot you're starting on is faith in Jesus Christ. Then the right one is the works. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, He said to His disciples, verse 2, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And He was. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for me and you, for our redemption. Our sins were atoned for. Our sins were paid for, but only if you've accepted his free gift of salvation. So let's bow our heads. I want to ask you, have you accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? He was handed over to be crucified, but he didn't stay crucified. The third day, the Bible tells us, he arose from the dead, and we celebrate that on Easter. He arose from the dead. Thanksgiving coming up this week. We can count our blessings. We can do all these things. But if you do not have the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ, everything you've got is just borrowed temporarily. If you don't have the eternal life through Jesus Christ, it's all in vain. It's all worthless. Ask yourself, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the gift of salvation by putting your faith in him? If you have, glory to God. Now, how's your Christian walk going? As John Wesley asked in some of the letters, how is it going, what you're up to, what you're doing? How is it going in your life, what you're doing, serving the Lord? Is it going well? Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Or are you leaving those behind us in the dust and not helping them? Not showing God's love to those around us? Christ is King. So we recognize this Sunday. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We are part of his kingdom, the sheep of his pasture. His children bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. We're to show his love and his ways down here below. So take a moment and reflect on you and the Lord. He's the God of salvation. He knows your heart deeper than anybody's. So take a moment and pray to him. Thank you, Father, for your word and your ways. Help us to hide them in our heart that we may not sin against thee, that we may fully trust you every day. Bless all these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. We look forward to your coming again. We're thankful for your coming again. But, Lord, we're thankful that you reign right now, that the kingdom of heaven is among us, that, Lord, we may live for you right here, down here below. We don't have to wait to heaven to know you. We can know you right here below. And follow you and show your love and your kindness and your mercy to those around us, wherever we are, Lord. Put us in contact with somebody that we may share your love with and your truth this week. But Lord, not only put us in contact, but give us the words by the Holy Spirit that we should say, that we may be a witness to them and their needs here below through Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless us all as we depart from this place. May we depart with the love of God that only you can provide by your Holy Spirit in our hearts toward those around us, and most of all, toward you. Thank you, Father. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord tells us in the Psalms that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God for that promise. Will you stand with me? Amen. Just as the Lord promised in his word, that the righteous shall shine like the sun as we reflect God's light. Let's reflect God's light down here below. May the Lord bless us and keep us, make his face to shine upon us, and give us all peace. In Jesus' name, amen.